Welcome to Wolf Dan's Saturday set, where we have reached peak spring and we are rock hard fit and ready to go, King Zone. This is it, grand final time.
Best week of the punting calendar. I have it circled at home on my office calendar.
And forget about everything else this week.
Coming
it's
off
all about
a
you
big
this week.
Cox Plate campaign, but I'm only looking forward and I'm going to attack. But I'm going to be patient. I'm going to attack the races that I really like. I'm not going into every race going crazy. I'm going to find the race I really like, which there are a couple there on Saturday as well, which we'll talk about very soon.
You're going to be surgical, really measured.
Yeah. And I'm going to have a
steady
crack.
A steady hand.
I'm going to have a crack, but I'm going to pick my marks.
That sounds like what you're like every week, Fizzy. You're very surgical and steady hand.
Yeah, I'm going to pick my mark and get away from all the harder racing. But, yeah, it's great racing this weekend. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm. And we're heading down again. We had a great time at Moonee Valley last week. Punter's pot went well. Everyone had a good time. Back down this again this week. We don't have any official commitments on Saturday. But we might head out the track in some shorts and
I've got official commitments. I've got to back plenty of winners.
Very good, very good. All right, well, why don't we get into it? So it is one of the great days of the year, if not the greatest day of the year. We've got four feature races to unpack. And we're going to go in race book order. We're going to start with race six, the Coolmore Stud Stakes for 2024. One of the biggest races of the day. Of course, it's a stallion-making race. So much at stake for so many participants in it. Let's get the AI screen up and have a look at where we're at. Wow, Growing Empire. He's been very, very busy, but you think he is a back King Zone even after all the big races he has been in.
Like a Christmas tree up there.
It does look like that, yeah.
AI, let's talk about it. Growing Empire, 96, top bullet rating. Next bullet rating is Lady of Camelot on 81, followed by Switzerland, 79, and a lay traffic warden who is was scratched at the barrier in the Everest and missed that run, obviously, and then has had a jump out since. But he's having his first go down the straight, traffic warden.
Mm.
Let's talk about the backs. Firstly, Growing Empire coming out of an Everest where he ran a really, really strong race. To me, this looks like it's three-year-old form versus open form where these horses, the two that I've found, Growing Empire and also Lady of Camelot, are coming out of races where they've been racing the big boys.
Mm, absolutely. And do you think maybe that's why your ratings have found them a bit
more? I would have, yes, absolutely. And I'm happy with that as well. I think that you've got both them. And they're both – Lady of Camelot ran fourth in the Everest and is improving as well. Had a few little excuses, was wide the time before. Smally tipped Lady of Camelot last start.
We all bagged him.
Yeah, we all thought he was having a couple. But he was right really in the end. It ran fourth and was a great sort of a place bet, although you did your money each way. But that's it for me. I think Growing Empire at $3.60 represents okay value. I think Lady of Camelot at $9.50 also represents okay value. In by that I mean in terms of whether we should jump in or wait. I'm not convinced whether we should jump in or wait. But one thing I am convinced of is that they are both official Saturday set tips.
Wow, that is exciting. Okay, brilliant, brilliant. All right. Fizzo, what did you make of the whole race? And we'll get the whole market up there while you talk.
Yeah, no worries. I like Growing Empire myself. He's been educated down the straight, as we know. He's ticked that box. Drawn quite well in nine, I think, with the way the Flemington Straight normally plays. Traffic Warden, harder to line up being the fact that it missed that run in the Everest. I'm not completely potting it like King's form is. Traffic Warden, quality horse, and I saw it had a jump out down the straight this week. And I think it'll be well educated coming from the right stable, so I'm not against it. I am against Lady of Camelot. King's can have that one to himself. No thank you to it down the straight for the first time. Bellatrix Star has to step up another level. Great horse, going great guns, but again, has to step up against quality opposition. Switzerland is one that I normally say no to, but just because of the Waller James McDonald factor, I say yes. It had the perfect run last start. Like, they went hell for leather in the race that it won. It got a clear run off the speed and just came up the inside and won. I wouldn't say it was super impressive, but it was impressive enough. And we know Waller Polish will have that one right in the hunt in their race. I can't see an upset in this race. Growing Empire from Traffic Warden for me, Bellatrix Star third pick.
Right, fair enough. Let's move to the VRC Derby 2500 meter race. For the three-year-olds, I've got an interesting little stat to get us going. In the last 10 derbies, only one winner was a winner the start before.
It's been a lot of upsets in derbies. I didn't go back and have a look, but a lot of the favourites have seemed to get rolled in the derbies. And you got these three-year-olds obviously going to 2,500 for the first time. And, you don't want to be taking too short of a price about anything. But we've got the track map on the screen there, the Flemington track map. And what I wanted to point out is the sharp run to the first turn. So the Derby over 2,500 metres starts about just at, down from the winning post there to the left of the winning post. And you'll see that big sharp turn. What's interesting about that is wider barriers are at a distinct disadvantage because you've got that turn, especially if you're on pace and you can't get across. Mm-hmm. So we've seen if we just go to the AI screen for this as well. So we've got four plays here. El Castello, which I will be happy to lay. A bullet rating of 46. So the reason why El Castello's bullet rating is so low, so we've got a bullet rating of 46, but we've actually got a time rating. If you just went off the pure time ratings, El Castello has the best time rating in this race. But El Castello has had a lot of favours the last two. It sat second off slow tempo last start at Randwick, where got a pretty easy time in front and did hold them off over 2,000. Now you've got a scenario over 2,500 at Flemington where El Castello's drawn barrier 18. You've got horses in this race, Hot to Go, War Ribbon, West Indies, Oxford Blues, Tenbury Wells, all Keeneland, all going to go forward. He's going to have to go back on El Castello. I said, Fitz, you said they've come out and announced that. Is that?
No, I haven't announced it. Just a little bit of mail that I got that they think that they're going to try to ride it back a little bit and get some cover from the wide gate.
I think that's the only option. Off my speed map, I had El Castello 8th. I dislike horses that are going to settle a long way back that are used to racing on pace. Not only will he probably settle about 8th, but he's going to be three wide. And for a horse that's going to 2,500 metres at Flemington after travelling for the first time, is going to be like, I'm not saying he can't win, but I do think he's a double-figure chance of winning the race. So let's talk about the bets in the race. I've got three bets, the first one being King of Thunder, who's got a bullet rating of 82. King of Thunder, he's coming out of the same race as Politely Done. Mm-hmm. Who I don't think was suited. Politely Done in particular wasn't suited at the Valley where he got back as well. So I don't think those horses were suited. So what I'm looking for here, and the same with the other bet of King of Wall Street, are horses that are going to settle, get pretty good runs, settle midfield, settle in the race, and they look like they're going to run the 2,500. So you want a horse that can relax, probably midfield. I wouldn't be – those list of six horses that I read out, they're all on paces. I wouldn't be backing any of them. I wouldn't be backing El Castello. I really like this race. I haven't put them in as official Saturday set tips, but I will be playing exotics with those three, and I will be betting up on all three of them.
Great. Fizzer?
Yeah, just firstly, 2,500 metres, not my go, so I won't be betting in this race. El Castello comes out top pick on mine, which is understandable coming off its four wins and coming out of the races that come out of in Sydney. But like King said, barrier 18, I'm happy to let it go this time. I thought Red Aces was unders. I didn't love its run the other day when it won at $7. Not for me. I didn't like Keeneland in the market either. I just thought that it didn't really hit the line like a horse wanting 2,500. Gold Rush Guru brings Adelaide form. Couldn't have been more impressive last start. It was a soft win. There's horses like St. Emilion, which ran over the 2,200 metres last start, and I think it'll relish the 2,500. It's about a $17 shot. And King of Thunder was the one out of the Valley race. I think it was in the Red Aces race. It's the one that I preferred the run out of. So not a race for me to take part in, but I'd be looking around the main few in the market.
Very good.
I agree with you. I don't normally like derbies either, but what I do like betting in is races where you can find a few in the market that you don't like. And then sort of that's a great starting point for anyone out there doing form.
The most important is that they're in the market.
They're in the market, either first or second favourite or both of them, and you really can find a reason why you don't like them. Then you can go start looking for some value.
Very good. All right, move on. We're going to go to Flemington Race 8. The Empire Rose for the Mares, Group 1 over the mile. Amelia's Jewel gets her chance. She's rock hard fit, back to her own sex. But there's an interesting one here. Fizzer, you pointed out when we were just talking before. Zardozzi. So Zardozzi's going into the cup. James Cummings decided to run her here. She did this last year, didn't she, Fizz? She won the Wakeful on her way to winning the Oaks.
That's right.
Bit of a different setup this time. I think the Wakeful's 2,000 metres. This is 1,600 metres. The Oaks is 2,500 metres. The Melbourne Cup's 3,200 metres. But interesting call by James Cummings because, of course, we don't have the Archer anymore on Derby Day. What did you make of the race?
I thought it was really hard. I thought it was a really hard race. I was a tissue on top from Amelia's Jewel. Plenty of ammo we saw come out and win last week when Dream Team Matt put it in the pot. Orchestral was a great run as well. Will improve on its last start. Al Safina was the one that I've sort of landed on from a value perspective. I thought that sat midfield and wide last start sort of is 110 from 18. I didn't think there was a hell of a lot between those horses. I thought any of them can win. Also beat Lady Jones at the Valley a couple of starts back. So value for me, small bet Al Safina.
Okay, Fizz, what do you got, mate?
Yeah, I found this race really tough. I really looked at this race hard and I went back to a tissue looking for the quality, thinking I could find something there. And it's just the 2,000 metres, last 2,000 metre runs and then back to 1,600 and hasn't really been able to keep up over 2,000 lately. And I'm just not sure where it gets to from barrier 9 and whether or not it's got the sprint in its legs to actually win this race. I don't want to doubt Waller, so I don't like potting his horse. And I'm not potting it by any means, but I won't be backing it. Amelia's Jewel, I'm not sure it's going as good as it once was. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little bit inclined to steer clear of Amelia's Jewel. Orchestral ran up the backsides of every horse she could find last start and still made a run at the line late. So I'm going to give it a chance. And then I thought out of every horse in the race, Grinzinger Bell will make its own front luck in front and I think it's overs at the current quote.
Very good. I know that Annabelle in the Annabelle set yesterday was tipping Amelia's Jewel her strongest chance on Saturday.
That was her best?
It's her best, yeah. She's very confident, so throw that in the mix. It's time to move on. We're going to go to Flemington Race 9, the Furphy Sprint, once again for the mares, 1,100 metre. Group 3, I've got a feeling you're going to love this race, Kingzone.
This is a race I like, and there's some good value there too. I've landed on two bets. I'll just talk about my bets this race because it is quite an open market. The first being number 3, Sans Doute. So Sans Doute last three runs have all been on rain affected tracks, soft, heavy, heavy. Sans Doute doesn't particularly like the wet. So that's a number 1 tick. Mm-hmm. Number 2 tick is Sans Doute 4 times down the straight at Flemington on a dry track has won 4 times. So we're going from a scenario, a completely different scenario here to what Sans Doute's been racing in. I think she's going to run a terrific race and I think she is a terrific price. The other horse in the race I like is number 7, Infancy, which she has had no luck this prep at all, whether it be drawn wide or being held up. I think Infancy drawn out in 15, $13 with Ladbrokes is a good price. 15 is an advantage, I think, down the straight, especially in the last race, down the middle of the straight there. So I'm not worried about that at all. I would rather be drawn 15 than sort of 3 or 4. Looks a great race. There's good value. I'm going to be betting right up this race. 2 official Saturday set tips. Number 3, Sans Doute, and number 7, Infancy.
Fizzar, take over, son.
Righto, total lottery. Number 10, Cigar Flick. Trial well at the Gold Coast, top pick for me, just off ratings. Number 19, Pondalowie, might be the right horse in this, I think. This is the one that I think in the market might be the right one. Has one down the straight and then barrier 19 doesn't bother me at all. Infancy's another one that Kings has talked about. Being stiff up in Sydney comes down to this and got a little mail for it off our mate Cameron Swan when we were down the track last week. Said it's really going well, so at those sorts of odds, got to throw it in. And I did say Sans Doute loves a straight, and that was a tick. But, yeah, total lottery, anything could win.
Very good. All right. As always, AI is free on Saturday for Victorian racing. It's also free on Friday night at the Valley. We will be at the Valley, but before we talk about that, you put together a little package. If you want to punt with the King over the Melbourne Cup week, you've got a nice little package for everyone. We're going to throw it up on the screen here. Can you tell us a little bit about it, what it is?
Well, there's plenty of meetings on. That's the first thing I'll tell you. So we've got all day Saturday. We've got all day Tuesday. We've got all day Oaks Day. And we've got all day...
Champions Day.
Champions Day. So there's 4 days. There's probably about 150 meetings to punt on and knock yourself silly. So you get the best bets, but you get access to every meeting all day. So let's get through Saturday. Let's attack Tuesday. Let's win on Thursday and finish them off Saturday.
A deeper set on the Melbourne Cup as well. There's deeper sets on the first
3 races for Saturday. The Derby, the Coolmore, and also the big one in Sydney.
Okay, the Golden Eagle.
Yep. Yeah, then the Melbourne Cup. We're doing a preview. Do another preview for the Oaks, and then Champions Day. So there are deeper previews with prices and that sort of thing for those main races as well.
Very good. All right. As I mentioned, we're going to be at Moonee Valley tomorrow night. We're going to do a live stream. And it's got a nice twist to it, this live stream. It's going to be the Saturday set part two. So the racing at Flemington is elite tomorrow. Actually, sorry, 2 days' time on Saturday. And we've talked about those sort of four really biggest races that are at the end of the meeting. We're going to talk about the five races at the start of the meeting in the live stream on Friday night, where we have a few bets on the Valley as well. It'll be a lot of fun. Going to kick off at 7:40 p.m. So make sure you come and do that. It'll be very much like this, but it'll be a bigger cast. We've got, I think there's about 10 of us from the Den going down.
That's right. We're doing a Melbourne Cup preview on the Sunday. When will that be out?
The Melbourne Cup hopefully will be out that evening. So we're going to go into Dotcom offices on Dotcom Studios, I should say, on Sunday. We've reached the big time. Record the Melbourne Cup set. So it'll be a very comprehensive review of the Melbourne Cup. We'll also throw in a few plays for Melbourne Cup. They'll be very much Saturday set style. It will be called the Melbourne Cup set, but the producers at racing.com are going to pull it together for us. So it'll be of the highest quality. So I'm really looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun. And of course, the call of the card on Monday as well, King Zone.
It's an action-packed weekend. Yeah, the call of the card is always one of the great events of the year. And I will be, I've had a little look at the Melbourne Cup. Nothing's jumping out at me at the moment. So I need to sit down, which I'll do tonight, tomorrow night. And then the Barry draw Saturday night and really get into it Sunday morning and come up with my final thoughts. But I've narrowed it down to about six or seven at the moment. I don't think there's a terrific amount of value there, but it's shaping up as a really interesting, interesting race with Buckaroo heading it.
And we need to win this year, don't we? Like, you normally go down there and, you know, everything's not too bad. It's like, oh, hopefully we win. But this year, we've got to win. It hasn't been the fattest of years, and we really need to. We don't want to make another donation.
We need to back this cup winner.
We don't want to make another donation of the Victorian bookmakers, do we?
No, I backed Without a Fight last year. I did save on Without a Fight, broke square, and but to answer your question, we do need to win. It's the one race I'm going to be betting up on for sure.
It'll be great to get a result, and we are due and deserve it. So hopefully you'll come along for the ride and we win. This episode is brought to you by our good mates at Ladbrokes. Ladbrokes have you covered with all the best racing features so you can own spring racing. You can support the show by joining Ladbrokes today and using the code GALLOP. If you want the ultimate social betting experience, be sure to check out Ladbrokes Mates Mode, where you can chat, share, and bet with your mates. We've even started our own Wolfden Mates Mode group, and you can join the action by using the join code WOLFDEN24. So check out Mates Mode and download the Ladbrokes app this spring carnival. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website. With that out of the way, we're going to move to Rose Hill, where we've got an excellent card as well. Two big races there. Let's start with the Russell Balding, a $3 million sprint race. Bella Nipotina up the top there. Interesting thing about her, she won this race last year. She was $11. Think about it, was the favourite in the race at $1.80. Shows that a year in racing is a very long time. The boys also this morning before I came in, Smalley said to me, did you know that Bella Nipotina has never won two on the bounce?
That is interesting. I didn't know that, no. What I do know as well is that Bella Nipotina is 4 from 32 on a good track. 4 wins from 32 starts on a good track.
Right.
I think, yeah.
And we're going to be good at Rose Hill on Saturday? Yeah.
It's a good track at the moment. There's no rain tip. It's a beautiful sunny day outside, and I can't see why it wouldn't be a good track. But $2.60 about Bella Nipotina seems extremely short to me. It's very obvious after huge run in the Everest, which I was on Bella in the Everest. It was a massive run. That was her grand final. I'm not saying that Bella can't win at all, but it's certainly coming off the soft going onto a hard going, coming off grand final. She's always thereabouts, but I hate backing these horses that are on a Saturday that are just obvious picks. It's not like she blew them away. Yes, I know she went forward and she did win an Everest, which
the
was
bookies are trying to reel
a fantastic. But you had Sunshine in Paris that started shorter than Bella Nipotina in the Everest, and now he's getting out to 1300, which suits as well. Private Eye, I thought, were in a much improved race in the Everest, and now getting out to 1300. So I thought that I thought one of those three horses would win: Bella Nipotina, Private Eye, or Sunshine in Paris. IME stretching it a bit at the 1300, I think, and then it drops away. Did Annabelle say anything about Lady Lagoon? I haven't had a chance to watch the set.
Ridiculous odds. She said it's just embarrassing at such big odds. So she said, great bet each way.
Fair enough.
Can't have a bigger push than that.
I did think Lady Laguna had an each way chance. You can't back them all. I don't know what to do, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think Bella Nipotina's too short. I thought, I don't know what to do. I'm not betting. It's too hard.
Fair enough. Fizz, can you help us, mate?
Oh, not really. I just put, I want to lay I Am Me up to 1,300. So that was the first thing that I put. I didn't think it gets 1,200, let alone 1,300. So happy to be against it. I did write Lady Laguna and Sunshine in Paris, really good chances, and I gave them great hopes. And King of Sparta, its run last start was good as well. I'm not against Bella Nipotina, but again, I'm not into the 260 either. Yeah. Sunshine in Paris steps up in distance and probably the race may not have been run perfectly to suit in the Everest for some of these horses. Private Eye, I looked at that run, Kings. I just can't come for it based on the fact I did think it stuck on well in the Everest, but, geez, it's been a long time since Private Eye's done anything. And it comes around at 650 again. Looks unders to me. I'd be steering away from the race myself. Maybe if you like a bit of value, Lady Laguna and King of Sparta.
Okay. I think Sunshine in Paris is the firmer. Started shorter than Bella Nipotina in the Everest, only got beat 1.5 lengths.
Yep.
Didn't have everything go away.
Mm.
Private Eye, I think barrier one will suit. I think Private Eye will drift. There's never any money for Private Eye.
No.
So I'd be happy to take $8 or $9 Private Eye as well late. So, yes, that's it. Bella Nipotina, I think, will drift for sure.
Very good. We're going to move to Rose Hill Race 8, the $10 million Golden Eagle, absolutely stacked field. I thought Astrarca was the interesting runner in this race simply because he's been so good. Obviously, you can see they've got the picket fence. Last four starts have been a win. They could possibly lead on him. He's been, you know, he's so tactable. Would they try to go to the lead with him to give him every chance to win? And then, of course, you've got these international horses, Ascoli, Pacino, King, Fizz, you were saying that they're happy that they've drawn out wide. Doesn't worry him at all.
I don't know whether or not I've said that, but someone might have said that to you. I'm really keen in this race. Mm-hmm. So I'm betting right up and I'm backing Ascoli, Pacino. I think these horses are superior to our horses. This Japanese horse is going to show them what's what, in my opinion. And Lazat is also a very, very good horse. From France, I've watched its races and it's been very impressive. So for me, I'm going to steer clear of the Australian form in this race and I'm going getting up all over the overseas. I could even make a case for William Haggis's run of the 14 to run into a hole. So big bet for me on the 19 and I'm going to save on 12 and 14.
Okay. Where's Joe Sid from, from Barry 17?
I don't think he'd be too far back. I think he'd be
midfield,
with cover, sort of thing. Something
with,
like that.
With cover,
three wide with cover. I think they'd be happy to do that. These Japanese horses seem to be all right when they've ridden wide.
And Lazat, does it go forward or back?
I think it'll be behind Ascoli Pacino in the run, from what I saw.
Fair enough. I think this is an incredibly difficult race. Again, you've obviously got the Japanese horse Ascoli that Fitz talked about. Lazat, we don't know either. Obviously, got pretty good form over in Europe. But what worries me about it is the jockey, Antonio Arani.
Correct.
I'm not saying Antonio can't ride at all. He's probably a champion rider over there. But he's coming to Australia riding at Rose Hill for his first time. And I would say to everyone out there as well, just be careful of these overseas riders that haven't had any experience. Mm. We see them coming over from Europe with, you know, great credentials and on their home turf, the champion riders, and they come over here. And it's just a little bit different riding in Australia, obviously, to riding in Japan or riding in Hong Kong or riding in Europe. So he's having his first ride in Australia. Of our horses, Jolly Star, I think I had top pick from Steffi Magnetica. Nothing's exciting me about this race at all, apart from the field and as a racing fan, the spectacle.
Very good. All right, we've mentioned a couple of times the Annabelle set. Go and watch it if you can. It was the season finale yesterday. It's been a lot of fun and I hope it sets us up to be able to do it with other trainers. So it's very successful for Annabelle and her stable. They send it to all their owners. So I'll get out there and try and work out if we can do it some other.
Yeah, Annabelle was fantastic too. A big thank you to the team. And she was great. Tipped quite a lot of winners. All good value as well. We got that place multi up at about 300-1. And there was plenty of very honest as well, which is always fantastic. There was no sitting on the fence with Annabelle.
No, and we've got this weekend to go. Hopefully she shoots the right lights out. She's feeling the pressure because Rob, her training partner, also partner in life, has been tipping better than her. She knows that. She acknowledges it. And she wants to finish this weekend off. Can I please get your official Saturday set, knowing that we've already got quite a few of them, but maybe you want to quickly rehash them.
Yeah, so there's been four so far, which was four out of two races. So we started in Flemington Race 6, number one, Growing Empire, and then went to number 13, Lady of Camelot. And then we went to the last at Flemington, number 3, Sands Dute, and number 7, Infancy. There's only one more official Saturday set tip, and that is up at Eagle Farm, race 8, number 2, Naval Trader, who's back to a benchmark 78. Ridden by Jasper Franklin. He's drawn out in 10. Mm-hmm. He's just got to go straight forward. There's not a lot of pace in this race. I think he can cross, he can lead or sit outside the leader. Went too hard last time in a listed race and burned up a bit. But back to the right grade, and I think if he gets into either first or sits outside the lead, he's going to be awfully hard to run down in the straight, and I'm happy to take the early price.
Okay, very good. Fizz, can I get your official Saturday set tips?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Ascot for all three of my tips. Race 2, number 8, a horse called Lord Randolph. Pike rides this one. He rode it a couple of weeks ago for a win. 2,200, no problem. I think it settles midfield and runs over the top of him. It's not much of a race. Race 3, number 5, a horse called Amjad. I've tipped it once, I think, on here, and I've been on it myself a few times this prep. This race suits. It goes to 1,500 first time. This prep, it gets a soft lead, and that's the key to this horse. It's had a really, really hard run outside hot speeds at its first two runs this time in, and I think the soft lead's the key, and I think it'll give us a really good sight. And then I've gone a shorty. This is my best bet of the day anywhere. Race 5, number 7, a horse called Joker's Grin. This horse is just on its way up and up and up, and I think it'll work its way through the grades to even higher things this time in. Looking for it to sort of give me a good result. It's only going to be short, but it'll be winning.
Very good. All right, let's move to the A-team set, starting with Dan O. Bellini Patina, okay, a bit of support for Bellini Patina from Dan O. Let's move on. There is Dream Team Matt. Decent price. He's probably the most informed punter in the den. When it's mattered most in those pots, he's come through for us.
He has. Plenty he's of ammo.
Yeah, moving along. Smalley, Ascoli Pacino.
Whoa.
He's with the international form in the Golden Eagle and rounding it out, Junior Matt, Moonee Valley tomorrow night. Ooh, tasty price.
Beautiful.
Tasty price. Accountability. Let's quickly touch on that. Minor improvement for you, Kings. I think minor. Last week was not bad.
Via.
Yeah, no, I've had Via two bad weeks in a row, so I've got a lift.
You're going back to
well, the other two, best. I tip Via Sustainer, and the other two both got beat a short half head, unfortunately.
Territory Express, and they were good. There is the A-team set accountability. Not too bad, except for Tano, but, you know. He tipped a winner in the punter's pot.
He did. He got one home in Adelaide, about $5.50, which got us on our winning way, so... Mm. Yeah, no, that was good. But it's such a small sample size there. It's nothing like there's, I don't know, a handful of bets. You can quickly turn that around in a couple of bets. Yeah. And Dano, one thing about him, he's been in this game for 20 years. And if anyone's going to do it, it's Dano.
All right. Well, big week in front of us. And as I like to do, I like to send everyone off with something to pump them up a little bit. And I wouldn't say this is a huge pump up, but it's necessary. It's a bit educational. So Tim Carroll put together a bit of a spiel on the international runners in the Melbourne Cup for Ladbrokes. I watched it. It was very good. You boys can watch it too as well
I will.
So here it is telling you a bit about the international runners to get us all ready for what is our job each year to back the Melbourne Cup winner. So it's in front of us. Let's do it. See you at the Valley tomorrow night up the Den. Thank you very much.
Well, it's getting a bit cold here at Newmarket as we head into an English winter, but things are hotted up in Australia as we have a look at the international contenders for this year's Melbourne Cup. The Japanese Raider Warp Speed was very disappointing in the Caulfield Cup. He sat out the back, he was one of the first off the bridle, and he didn't pick up at all. Having said that, it was his first run in quite some time, and the Melbourne Cup has always been the target. The last time he went over this trip, he wasn't beaten far in the spring version of the Tenue Shoe. So I wouldn't write him off completely, but he will need to be much better than what he was in the Caulfield Cup. Willie Mullins is a man on a mission, having stated that the Melbourne Cup is the one race he most wants to win anywhere in the world. And he once again this year is double-handed with Absurd and Vauban returning for the Cup. Absurd ran with plenty of merit in this race last year, when just over 5 lengths behind the winner in 7th spot. They ran the race at a strong gallop that day, and he was the first home of those that sat close to the leaders. They have been riding him a tad cooler this season, and he does arrive in good form, having won the Chester Stakes at his most recent start. Kieran McAvoy, a thrice winner of the Melbourne Cup, picks up the ride and With a slightly lighter weight this time round, this fella looks a strong contender for this year's cup. Favourite backers from last year probably won't be in a hurry to go in with Vauban again this year, but he's a lot better than that, and I think it's fair to say that the run was just too bad to be true. His trainer, Willie Mullins, has purposely kept him busy this year, and he does arrive in good form, having won at York before a strong effort in defeat when runner-up to the world's best stayer, Kyprios, in the Irish St. Ledger. He will need to be taken on trust after last year, but he wouldn't be the first horse to win the Cup, having bombed at their first attempt. The Brian Ellison-trained six-year-old, one-smooth operator, smashed his way into the Melbourne Cup when he dotted up in this year's Geelong Cup. He was handed a 1 kilogram penalty for that, and he needed that to ensure a start in the Cup. Now, don't worry about this fellow over 3,200 metres. He won the Northumberland Plate at Newcastle when he was last seen over this trip in June. He's tactically versatile, but for a stayer, he does possess a big turn of foot and is very strong at the finish. And he does have a bit of history on his side, with three international raiders having completed the Geelong and Melbourne Cup double. Of this year's international contenders for the Melbourne Cup, I thought Absurd ran as well as any of the Beaten Brigade in this race last year, especially given the way the race was run. And I think Willie Mullins has improved him since then. Kieran McAvoy picks up the ride, so we know we're going to get plenty of help from the saddle. So Absurd's going to be my best bet of the internationals for this year's Melbourne Cup.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.